It doesn't matter where you start. It matters where you finish.
You just have to do things you never think you're going to have to do in order to survive and get through it.
When you're going through hell, don't stop. Don't pitch a tent in hell. Don't build a Holiday Inn in hell.
It takes as long as it takes. I hate to say that. You can go to the gym for 9 hours, but you won't get into shape. But if you go to the gym every day for 20 minutes, you will get into shape. But the problem is I don't know how long it takes. It'll be a little quicker for some, a little slower for others. And so there's no app for trust. There's no app for that. You know, this is a human condition, and we have to do the things that are right for human beings. And you won't build trust with everybody on the team at the same pace. Some will be quicker and some will be slower. How long does it take to make a friend? You know, I don't know. I just know that if you do the right thing, you will make a friend.
You got to get up. You got to get out. The amount of time you spend outside your proximity or location where you sleep gives you a better chance of being successful. So get up, get out. Go meet the world head on, folks, no matter how bad it is.
I'm going to tell you something that a lot of people, 99% of people, disagree with me. Everybody says follow your passions. I say that's bullshit, right? I say follow your efforts. It's amazing how we're all passionate about things. We are all passionate about something, helping veterans, helping this organization, helping this group. That's great. But no matter what, it all nets out to where do you put your time? Because when people put in their time, you get better at things. And when you get better at something and get good at something, then you have a chance to be great at something. And you know what I've learned? Nobody ever quits anything they're great at. And once you get great at it, it's amazing how passionate you become about it. Follow your efforts.
You are the architect of tomorrow.
Sometimes, in order to stay on our priority pathway,
yeah,
you got to say no.
Got to say no.
So I've really become a master of saying that's just not working for me. Yeah, but in years past, I was too cluttered.
So every single organization on the planet, even our own careers, always function on the same three levels: what we do, how we do it, and why we do it. Everybody knows what they do. These are the products we sell, the services we offer. Some know how they do it. These are the things we call our unique selling propositions, or our differentiating value propositions, whatever it is, the things that we think make us stand out from the crowd. But very, very few people and very, very few organizations can clearly articulate why they do what they do. And by why, I don't mean to make money, that's a result. By why, I mean what is your purpose, what is your cause, what is your belief? Why does your company exist? Why did you get out of bed this morning? And why should anyone care? And what I learned is that organizations or leaders that start by telling you what they do are less able to inspire people to do business with them, inspire loyalty, where those who start with why, whether it's Steve Jobs or Mahatma Gandhi, are able to command loyalty and are able to innovate in ways that others cannot. And the reason I say that every company functions this way is because the model is not based on highfalutin management theory, it's based on the biology of human decision making. This is how the brain works. That when you start with why, it talks to the part of the brain that is responsible for decision making and feelings, like trust and loyalty, but it's not responsible for language, which is why it's hard to put into words.
Get out and go meet the world head on. Go meet whatever it is, okay? You got to make up to somebody. You got to apologize for something you've done. You got to make up the damage of years of neglect and maybe betrayal. And look, I've done all that. I've had all those things where I screwed up over and over and over again. My reputation sucked. I was between the ages of 15 and 25 years old. It was like I was doing everything I could just to damage my reputation, okay? If it made me look bad, I did it. So here today, I'm gonna spend 10 days, 14 days, something like that, up here with that view. You can fix anything. I'm proof that you can fix anything. Anything can be fixed. Anything can be fixed, but you gotta fix it. You gotta fix it. You can't just sweep it under the old rug. You gotta fix it. You gotta clean up the damage. You gotta pay the price. Clean up your debts. do what you say you're going to do, become the most dependable person in your space, become the go-to person. Oh, I can put that person on stage and know exactly what they're going to get for me. I can put that person in the game and I know what play they're going to run. I can put that person on the floor and I know they're going to get it done. Be the go-to person.
You know, those first couple months, I remember thinking to myself, I'm in business 2 months now. You know, I remember getting to the point where I had $15,000 in sales, probably 6 months into the company, and I'm still living in the shell and thinking, okay, I can do this, I can do this. And along the way, it was lots of trial and error. You know, there were things that were new to me, things that were terrifying to me, things that would just, I would break out into a sweat. But I always remember going into my customers and just trying to be brutally honest and say to them, if I can help you, right? If I can bring value, if I can make your company more competitive, more profitable, will you work with me? And you don't have to put money, I'll do the work to prove it. And if I get it done, then we'll figure it all out, you know, or they agree to a price and then they'll pay it at that point. And one by one, I just kept on making customers happy and lost some, for every one I lost, picked up three. And I was so nervous about the whole thing that, you know, I couldn't imagine slowing down, you know? And so people talk about, you know, life, family, balance. I had none. I mean, I literally remember dating some girl, this is the truth. And it was like, we'd been dating a couple of years, and like, Mark, you're so into your work. I mean, I want a picket fence, I want a house, I want kids. You know, I mean, it's me or your job. And I was like, or me or your company. And I was like, what's your name again?
I'm 60 years old, and everybody who works for me is younger than me, and they'll tell you, I'll work you up under the table.
Vision is an internal thing, right? It is the world that you want to live in, right? Jobs was the rebel, and he always was against big business. All the visionaries that we know have some sort of personal experience and imagine a world that is different to the one they live in now, and will use their businesses to help build that world. That doesn't mean they're the only ones doing it, but what makes them a leader is they're the one leading towards that place. Right? So vision has to come from you. If you're the founder of a company, your business is not the only way you do it. What if you quit your business and start another one? It doesn't matter. They should all be contributing towards this vision. And you're not the only one doing it, but if you're the one preaching it and you're using your company to advance it, that makes you the leader. Yeah. That's why everybody copies you. But it's not about anticipating the market trend, which is an interest thing you're asking me. It's got to start with values. The interest comes second.
If you're going to make mistakes in your life, make them fast, right? If you're going to lose a deal, make them lose the deal fast. If you're not going to make any money on a deal, make sure the deal's quick.
There's part of you that either wants to create a business or you obviously already have created a business. The hardest part is taking that first step, right? There's always that line, like I was talking about earlier, that you have to take a step past. But the thing, people always say, well, you know, you're not afraid to start a business. Why aren't you, it's terrifying, or, you know, it scares me to do it. And my attitude has always been, if you're prepared, it's not a risk, right? Bobby Knight, who was the coach at Indiana University, used to say, everybody's got the will to win, but it's only those with the will to prepare that do win. And the same applies to business. We've all seen our friends go out there and just wing it. You know, it's my passion. We're all passionate about something. I'm passionate about basketball. It doesn't make me an NBA player, right? It's not just about passion. It's not just about saying I'm doing it. It's not even about incorporating. It's not about the idea. It's about, are you prepared and are you willing to do the work?
You got to quit saying nonsensical stuff like, you know, I'm happy where I'm at, and yeah, we're good, we're all good, you know.
This is good.
Everything's good, yeah. I'm better off than somebody in that. You gotta quit comparing yourself to other people. Yeah. You gotta quit talking like the middle class. Yeah. Like you've somehow arrived because somebody in Iran is suffering.
Yeah.
You know, you're good until you're not. There's nobody watching that gives enough money to charity.
Yeah. Okay, everybody watching should be able to give $1 million a year to charity, but you can't. You know why you can't? You would if you could, but you can't because you didn't.
Yeah.
You didn't produce enough, because by the way, it's not your money anyway.
Yeah.
Somebody else gave you the money,
yeah,
and you pass it on. Most of you are like, I'm really charitable, I'm really good, but you never do enough. Why? Because you never had enough. Because you didn't produce enough, because you didn't work enough, because you didn't expand enough. So I would just say to people, look, have some loftier goals.
You are at your best when you are authentic to your core, and you have to be what you are, not what they call you.
You know, I tend to believe that there's no finality in anything. You know, it's not like, even though our lives are finite, life is infinite. You know, life goes on. And for me, the goal is not to produce something that has an endpoint, but to produce something that has momentum that can live on beyond me.